This is a podcast from ABC Overnights. Here's Trevor Chappell.
Eve Ash, psychologist and filmmaker, is our guest this morning. Hi, Eve.
Hi, Trev.
Disappointment. Are you allowed to sook it and sulk if you're disappointed?
I think it's reasonable to have a bit of a, you know, a vent or a bit of sadness. Yes, but we can't stick in there.
So it can be, I guess it would, does it depend on how big the disappointment is? Depends on how long you can sook it for?
Well, you know, if we're talking disappointment, we're talking about not the huge loss and grief. We're talking about disappointments where you lose something or something happened that you weren't expecting. So I guess these are all the kind of bumps in life that we face and it's how do we get over them. And the sooner we get over them, the better for our mental health.
Because we're all going to have things that happen. There are going to be jobs that we didn't get that we really wanted to get. There are going to be moments by which we were looking forward to a holiday and then for some reason something happens to the plane or there's going to be a volcano erupting in Bali and we don't get to have those. And they're not massive events. However, they're things that affect us.
I think what we have to think about is at the time of these things, it always feels the worst. It's like we were going on a holiday and now we're not. But, you know, over time, these things become the past and we move forward. And later we'll look back on it and, yeah, it's a story we tell.
Actually, that's interesting because it becomes a story we tell and generally quite a good one because we look at it in a totally different way.
Maybe it makes us more interesting as company because we've got a good story to tell.
Does that mean when sometimes these things happen, if we can project ourselves forward and recognise that, okay, I am going to get through this and out the other side and it will be a good story to tell, but we can't necessarily do that when we're in the moment?
Yeah, it's very hard in the moment. And a typical example is if the frustration when you lose something and it's something you knew, you put it down somewhere and you've lost it and it really upsets you and you can't stop thinking about it. But eventually when you can move yourself forward, it becomes a nothing.
It depends on how, again, how important that particular thing is to you. If it's something that was given to you by someone that's very special and close to you, it can take a long time to get over that disappointment, I presume.
A lost piece of jewellery that had meaning can be a really big disappointment.
Is it fair to say that sometimes you may not get over it, but you learn how to live with it?
Yes, definitely. And I think that you have to actually do things in your mind to focus on the things that make you feel good. And you've got to turn yourself to not focusing on that. You've actually got to stop yourself from all the venting and the whinging and the poor me.
Oh, we like poor me's though. Poor me's are good for a little while. We were talking about kids and whether or not we wrap them in cotton wool and we don't give them too many experiences of disappointment. Is that a bad thing?
Look, I think it's a bit worrying that kids are very, very sensitive and they're now not getting the experience of winning or losing in sport. And it's obviously been done because of research and, you know, it's been found to be the best thing. But children, I think when they play games now, can get very emotional when they lose because they haven't had much experience of losing. We've knocked that out of sport in school.
And because, I mean, we tend to do it as parents too. You know, like when we're playing Monopoly or we're playing a board game or we're doing something, we may not try our hardest because we want to encourage the kids to participate. But if we always make sure that we lose, then it's the same thing because then they don't know what it's like to have that experience.
Yeah.
And it's the little things, I presume. You've got to work up for the little things and then move up towards the bigger things because if you can deal and cope with the small things and then you go, okay, I can deal with that, and then it builds up.
I mean, it is a terrific thing seeing kids get over the line and start to learn when they have lost a game that they don't have to cry. You know, it's a real accomplishment.
Even though some of the parents is probably just as bad sitting on the sidelines when they don't like to see their kids lose. Maybe that's where they get their inclinations of how they deal with loss or disappointment. As an adult, what are the major things that happens as far as disappointment is concerned?
Well, we tend to get very upset and we go over and over. We do a lot of if only I this would have happened or if only that could have been the case. And we keep going over and over that and that keeps us stuck in the past. And so you need a little thing in your head that almost tells you like a little mantra, keep moving forward. This will pass. you know, in the future I'm going to feel better. You've got to kind of give yourself little pep talks, and that's maybe what we need to teach kids.
What are the things that get us stuck, though? What are the things that stop us from actually doing that and reaching that progression?
I think we keep in touch with the pain, and we keep in touch with the loss and how bad it feels. And just as we're starting to feel good, we think, oh, this is true. Oh, I remember, I'm really upset I didn't get that job, or, you know, the bank has not approved this or that, or whatever it is.
Because those, I mean, they're big things that happen to us in varying stages of our lives, because we see an outcome, we think that we have that outcome, and perhaps we build ourselves up too much in the belief that those things will happen, and maybe pin too much on it.
Yeah, we do. And maybe we've just got to recognise, hey, this is a turning point where I can either keep whinging, keep feeling upset, or I can now look to, well, what else can I do? You know, and often it's because we didn't have an alternate plan. And some people say, well, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. So is it about having, well, if this doesn't work, then blah, if I lose, if I whatever, what's the other plan, so we don't fall off a cliff?
Does it mean that we shouldn't get excited about things? Does it mean that we need to rein in those emotions of getting too excited about it?
I'd hate to rein in excitement. I think that's terrible advice.
See, but the greater the excitement about the outcome, then the greater the disappointment at the end.
Well, maybe if you're with somebody who's about to have a huge thing that could be a disappointment, you're excited with them. What are you going to do if you don't win? You know, like, just maybe we just allow 5 or 10% of our mind to go to a what-if scenario.
Oh, then you get called a stick in the mud if you're the person that says, well, look, here, it's really good. But maybe you need to just think about the possible outcome the other way. Then go, oh, God, wait, I want to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, you don't want it to pull you down, but on the other hand, it might be realistic.
Yeah, and it's that realism, isn't it? Because if you're realistic, then you do take a look at, okay, I'm going for this job. I've got a pretty good chance, and I think I'm pretty good with that. I've got to realise that there might be 200 other people going for it. Maybe I stop and think, all right, well, I'll go to this stage, and I'll feel excited about that, and then the next stage, and then deal with it incrementally as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the little things that we have in our heads that can help us get through this, like, a lot of people have done very well with, I'll sleep on it and tomorrow I'll feel better. And that's a good mantra to have, you know, that sleep, which is really restorative, you know, that it's going to make me feel better. So I'll go to bed and I'll get up the next morning and I'll have a better attitude. So it's like a circuit breaker.
You need to be able to sleep, because that's the other thing, is that quite often when you are disappointed, then sleep doesn't necessarily come easily. Mm-hmm. And you've got that whole mind thing starts to tick over. And as you were saying, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that.
Well, if your disappointment is so big that you're ruminating and going over and over and over it, you really need to talk to somebody. And so it's somebody close, a friend or somebody that you can, you know, explore it. And if it's really bad, then you might need, you know, a little professional help, a little boost here or there. It's not unreasonable.
Quite often, if you go to a friend or go to somebody and you get the answer, oh, for goodness sake, it's not that big a deal, get over it. Or, as we tend to get via text on occasions, take a spoonful of cement and harden up. Is that good advice to be giving to someone who's going through something that's a disappointment?
No, because there's no empathy there. And I think, you know, when somebody's gone through a disappointment and you're close at hand to them, you've got to give them empathy. You've got to hear what their pain is, see what they're going through, and talk to them about it, not just wipe it away. I don't think wiping away and saying, oh, you'll be all right, is all that helpful. But if you give them a bit of empathy and say, okay, how are you going to move forward, you get them talking.
Yeah. And within that, if you do get people talking, then make sure that you listen and don't just tell them what you think that they should do.
Yes, definitely. It's better to get people to work out their own solutions.
Yeah, sometimes it's very hard, especially to work it out for yourself. Are you allowed to give a little bit of advice? If you're the person that's being spoken to,
you can ask. You can say, well, do you want to know what I think?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know how, if it was me, I can tell you what I'd do, but you've got to work it out for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because it's okay, as long as you point out that it's what you would do and you're not telling them what they should do. It's a different conversation, isn't it?
Because I think what people don't realise is the same trigger can affect one person so they're devastated. I mean, you look at harassment at work, a little joke to somebody, they brush it off, they didn't notice. For another person, they're crushed. They feel that they've been harassed and abused and whatever. So people experience things very on a continuum, very differently.
Well, that's a great point, because that's one of the things, is that just because it affects you in a certain way, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to affect someone in exactly the same way.
That's right. So a lot of people don't have empathy for how devastated someone might feel for what feels like, what, you just dented your car, you know, you're hugely distraught. But there is a thing you can do, and it's called a catastrophe scale, where you kind of recalibrate yourself. So if you did dent your car, you know, you go through to, well, you could have written off your car, you could have been injured, how bad really is it? And you kind of put it in its perspective.
A catastrophe scale. Like the idea of a catastrophe. Where does it start? Is it 1 to 10?
1 to 100.
1 to 100.